The Business Buzz Podcast.
You're tuned in to The Business Buzz.
Good evening and welcome to the Business Buzz Show right here on VAW FM 88.1 for your weekly dose of business, finance and economics news right here on your youth station here in Bromfontein, Johannesburg. My name is Mdio Mob Justice Gawaz and I'm joined in studio by Hlengiwe Zondo, and we will be your hosts for tonight's show. How are you, Hlengiwe?
I'm good, thanks, Mdio. How are you doing?
No, I'm alright. I understand that you've been within Women's Month, going for events and whatnot.
Yeah, trying. I mean, I just came from a wonderful event right now that's currently being hosted. It's called Girl Boss.
All right.
It's hosted by a lady called Ndom Bentley, and who's the founder of Afro Botanics. And it's a very, very powerful event. I was like, I have to go to the show now, but I will try and see you guys later. But yeah, I mean, there's so many wonderful events that are taking place. And yeah, I wish this kind of vibe would last for like the entire year.
Yeah.
But we're kind of just enjoying it while it lasts.
Once it lasts. So the month of August, you're going to make the most of it.
Definitely.
Okay, cool. So you heard that we're in studio with Hlengiwe. She's showing us a lot of love. You know, she left an event just to be in studio with us.
Yes, that's how important she guys are.
But yeah, that's how our show is going to be looking. It's the two of us. We're here until 7 p.m. In terms of what's going to be going on the show today, we're looking at business automation and how technology is now being used to automate or to streamline certain business processes. Some of you may have noticed that if you've gone into a McDonald's of late in certain parts of Johannesburg, you no longer get your orders taken by a person, but you get your orders done through a machine. So these are some of the things that we're going to be talking about. The little things. Mining, I think at the moment, there's a big debate going on. We've got some of the deepest mines in the world, and in places like Australia, they've already started taking miners out of the mines and actually putting mining machinery down there. But in South Africa, you know that a lot of these things, it has employment implications, and these are some of the things we're going to be finding out. So we're going to be talking to a researcher, and we're also going to be talking to a company that does automation solutions around these issues to just find out what's going on in the industry and should we be scared for our jobs. I think that's the big thing that everyone wants to find out. Otherwise, on social media, Hlengiwe, how can people get in touch with us?
So people can get a hold of us on various platforms, the first being Facebook, and they can get a hold of us on VAW FM, Voice of Vits, and Video Vits Radio Academy.
Yeah.
On Twitter, our handle is @VAW FM. Our hashtag is #BusinessBuzz. WhatsApp line is 084-078-4912. You can also streamline on the station live on www.vowfm.co.za, and our podcasts of the Business Buzz Show are available on www.vits.journalism.co.za/business. And they can also just follow us on Vids, on Voice of Vids FM 88.1.
Yeah, so that's how we're looking for today's show. We're talking the machines. Are they really here to take over? We find out. Otherwise, on the other side of this, we get into our business wrap. Keep it locked. This is The Business Buzz.
The Business Buzz.
On the line, we're actually joined by the CEO of the National Arts Festival, Tony Lancaster, and we're going to be looking at the business of festivals.
We conduct a major economic and social impact study, and what we found in the last survey in 2016 is that the festival contributes around about 367 million rand to the GDP of the province of Eastern Cape, and about 94 million rand to the GDP of Grahamstown.
Tune in to The Business Buzz every Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. only on VAW FM.
Business Wrap with Ken Swetnam.
It's time for us to get into our business wrap. That's a part of the show where we give you a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. And on the line, we're joined by our financial expert. We have Ken Swetnam. How are you, Ken?
I'm very well this evening. And yourself?
I'm doing all right. Now, getting into the week's business news, I understand that the Rand has actually been doing a lot of things this week. I think there was a day, it must have been Monday morning, when it actually breached the 15 Rand, the 15 Rand level. What's going on?
Well, it did indeed very briefly touch 15 Rand. Now, if your listeners watched the movement of the Rand, as recently as the beginning of last week, it was sitting at around 13.20 to the dollar. and it weakened, and it weakened rapidly. It's come back, and it's sitting, I haven't seen the price in the last hour or so, but it's sitting somewhere around 14.45 at the moment. The reason for that has absolutely nothing to do with us being South Africa. Unfortunately, it was actually problems in the Turkish economy. The Turkish lira weakened substantially against the dollar. Turkey being an emerging economy, as South Africa is also considered, and that reverberated across all emerging currencies, and the rand was the victim. And I won't say it's stabilized, but it seems to be hovering around the 14.40 mark at the moment. The other currencies have weakened as well. The pound went well over 18. The euro went to around 16.50. So it wasn't just the dollar. Very good news if you have money sitting in offshore investments or offshore funds. Very bad news for things like we often say on your show, the fuel price.
I think our listeners might then be interested to know if have we now stabilized as the week has progressed, because I think the breach, the 15 rand breach you talked about, happened on Monday morning. So how has the rest of the week been for the rand?
Yeah, it happened in the early hours of the Monday morning. In fact, most people didn't even realize it happened because we were all asleep. But yes, it did touch 15 very, very briefly, and it came back very rapidly to around 14.20. It's weakened slightly, as I said, to around the 14.40, 14.45 mark against the dollar. And it seems to be settling somewhere around there. But if we consider where it was, as I said, just over a week ago, in the low 13s, it's substantially weaker. And we would like it to get below 14 again, of course. But it seems to be stabilizing around the 14.45 mark at the moment.
And then I think the other thing that people will then want to know is, because South Africa has a lot of struggles, a lot of things that it has to deal with, contend with the political landscape. You have a lot of issues in the economy at the moment. But when you hear of certain shocks happening in other parts of the world that affect us so adversely, what, from a policy point of view, is there really anything that either Treasury or the Reserve Bank, for example, can actually do to stave off some of these effects? Or is our currency just going to continue being victim to some of these shocks from around the world?
Yeah, it's a very good question. And whether there's anything, the Reserve Bank is the sort of the overall body that looks after our money in this country and keeps an eye on our inflation rate and so on. And a weakening rand in the long term is going to affect our inflation rate because it's going to push up fuel and various other costs of offshore products. And that will worry the Reserve Bank. What they can do about it when the issues are outside of South Africa, I don't really know, and I doubt there's very much they can do. They can control certain things within our own economy, but the South African economy is less than 0.5% of the total world economy. So we have very little control of what happens outside our borders. If Donald Trump decides to fight with China over trade and trade tariffs, and that strengthens the dollar because it's good for the American economy, a strengthened dollar weakens our rand. And it's not that our governor of the Reserve Bank can phone up Donald Trump and say, please don't do that. It's bad for our currency, because Donald Trump would listen to him. So, yeah, there's not a lot they can do other than controlling what's within our own grasp, which is our own economy, of course.
And then lastly, Ken, I think in the week, last couple of weeks, if I can say that, there's been a lot of talk around wage negotiations in various sectors of the industries. Would the rand and its fluctuations have any impact on these, or are they considering more of the inflationary concerns more than anything else?
Well, one has to say indirectly, as I mentioned just now, a weak rand does put pressure on inflation, on the upwards level of inflation. And if inflation goes up, prices go up for all of us, no matter what we're buying. And that will certainly play into the hands of unions who are pushing for higher wage increases. So their workers can actually have enough money to meet all these extra costs. Of course, from a business point of view, if you're a business that does business overseas and you're buying items from overseas, a weak rand is very bad for you because it's costing you more to get your products into South Africa. And then, of course, you've got the demands of workers on the other side. And the ultimate, so what sometimes happens is that companies want to cut costs. And, of course, then they start retrenching. That's happening in the mining industry quite badly at the moment. There's a big story with Goldfields looking to retrench about one-third of their workforce. And they're saying we have to retrench to cut costs in order to save the jobs of the remaining two-thirds, because if we don't, we'll be out of business and all the workers will lose their jobs. But unions, of course, don't like anybody losing their jobs. So, you know, indirectly, it will certainly have an effect on wage negotiations.
So that was us. We were on the line talking to Ken Swetchanam. He is our financial expert, giving us a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. As you heard, the big story of the week is the Rand, which has been fluctuating quite a bit. But there was a bit of a shock that happened on Monday morning. I think it was around 6, 7 a.m. where the Rand actually breached the 15 Rand level because of what was going on in Turkey. But it seems that it's also come down a bit, settling at the 1440 mark, as you heard Ken talking about, and it has a lot of implications for us. So that's how the business environment is looking for the week. On the other side of this, we let you know, from a currency point of view, what does your 100 Rand do for you this week? Atlenyo is going to be giving us that a roundup. On the other side of this, we get into our Buffalo Index. Keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
Business Wrap with Ken Swetman. The Business Buzz.
Welcome back. This is the part of the show where we chat to you about the state of your 100 Rand. And today we are talking about all things exciting, artificial intelligence. So we have three items, overall items that we're going to be looking at that are potential purchases for our listeners. And the first one is a robot. So there's this robot that's called AppBot Riley, and it's a Wi-Fi smart home safety robot. And you can control Riley with your smart device from anywhere. You're able to stream videos directly onto your device, and you can use them to check on your pets, your kids, or security. I think this is a really just an important one, especially in South Africa with the current crime statistics. You also are able to use it to detect motion, and it will notify you of potential threats to your household. And you are, obviously, this is important when, you know, when you go on holiday, and a lot of us are never really home all the time. So, and this is available for 45 buffaloes, which is 4,499 Rand. It definitely is something that I would be willing to purchase. In terms of other robots that our listeners could look at, we have the doodling robot, which is available for 1.5 buffaloes, which it draws with pens and pencils. And then we have a Wowie MIP dancing robot. You know, if you need a little spark and dancing in your life, that's available for 27 buffaloes. And then our second item for the day is an Amazon Dash button. I think this is so exciting. This is unfortunately not available in South Africa yet, but it's a very cool idea, especially for people that are not, you know, too encouraged to go shopping, or things like shopping don't really excite them. There's a little button that you can put on your fridge or wherever it is that's most convenient for you, and it's linked to a particular product or particular brand, whether it's cat food, toothpaste, or chocolate. And when you press this button, it automatically orders these items and sends them directly to your door. I mean, how amazing. I can just, you know, imagine the endless list of things that I would order on this. Stuff on my list is like ice cream, takeaway, chicken, I mean, film equipment. I mean, the list is endless, really. But, I mean, who needs a magic wand when you've got this magic button? And it's also just incredibly cheap. It comes at $5, which is around just under a buffalo for us. And your first one is actually $5 off, so you're kind of like, you know, getting it for free. So if it was available in South Africa, that would be a great one. So we can advocate for that. And then third and last on our item today, one great use for AI is a personal assistant like Alexa or Google Home that you can speak to, and it'll tell you jokes, and it'll place orders for you, play music, etc. Or you can ask it questions relating to weather, your schedule, and a number of other easily located information that it is able to gather for you from Google Apps or the internet. Unfortunately, this is also unavailable in South Africa as yet. Although you can you can buy it. There isn't really official support, and there's a lot of potential apps that you might not be able to use, but it's still pretty cool. And this is available at 20 buffaloes or 2,000 rand. And if you want to go beyond that, there are other products that can link your Google Home to other things in your house, like the Philips Hue that goes for about 13 buffaloes, and it means you can control all the lights in your house. I mean, artificial intelligence products really can provide so much convenience, and there's a lot of room for growth in South Africa for these. But yeah, that's the three items that we have today, and that is the state of your 100 rand.
I would be keen on the Google Home thing, because I've actually seen how it works. But interestingly, the people next door to where I live, they have one from Amazon called the Alexa.
Yeah.
And you always hear them every once in a while. Alexa, play a song.
I know. I actually had a lady, because I just spoke to before I came here, because she's a South African lady who's currently studying in the US, and she says that she uses Alexa to do all kinds of things, like to lock her door at night.
Yeah.
Like, it's just such a convenience. Honestly, I think we should definitely look more into making these things more available.
Yeah, I'm very keen on this whole smart home thing. Unfortunately, the buffaloes, this is where the issue is.
But that button, though, you don't think that button where you just press something and then stuff just appears on your door? I'm all for that button.
So you heard, that's the state of your 100 rand this week. We're talking automation, artificial intelligence and all that. Very interesting products coming through from the Buffalo Index, specifically that Alexa and that Google Home. That's what I personally have, my eye on. But on the other side of this, we're going to be talking about how actual businesses are using technology, automation and artificial intelligence to streamline some of their processes. We're going to be chatting to Rob Jardine, who is a researcher. He's just going to let us know what's actually going on and if you should be afraid. And then after that, we will be talking to Johan Renneker from Automation Works, who is going to let us know how they are helping businesses to automate. That's how our show is going to be looking. So on the other side of this, we get into our main topic. Keep it locked. This is The Business Buzz.
The Business Buzz.
Welcome back, everybody. We are now joined on the line by Robert Jardine, who is the Head of Research and Solutions at Neuro Leadership Institute South Africa. Hello, Robert.
Hi, how's it going?
We're good, thank you. Very happy to have you with us on the show today. We're going to go straight into it. So we're very curious about the artificial intelligence and all things relating to the fourth industrial revolution. It's seemingly like a big monster, and we want you to help us to deconstruct it a little bit. So what is AI, and what is the difference really between artificial intelligence, machine learning, automation and all those things?
Okay, great. Well, artificial intelligence is definitely a buzzword, and so is machine learning. And one thing that Hollywood has not done for us is that it's really tainted our idea of AI. When we think about artificial intelligence, we often think about the movie Terminator, right?
Yeah.
And Rise of Machines, Star Wars, and that sort of thing. But one thing I want to say is that Hollywood has done for artificial intelligence that the movie Jaws has done for sharks. They've really exacerbated our understanding of it and sold movies based on fear. So it's very good that we understand what artificial intelligence is. So a basic definition of artificial intelligence is basically a robot, process, or thing being able to complete a task that gives us the impression that it is intelligent.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, this has already been happening for a while with regards to automation in factories and in mines, with machines taking... being able to replicate more efficiently and effectively basic labor movements. But now where it's getting scary is when it's happening with regards to natural thought processes. And that's where you see things like chatbots being able to interact with sort of virtual assistants on customer service websites.
Mm.
And particularly what's very exciting, what you refer to, is machine learning. Now, machine learning talks to the ability to use algorithms and big data sets to develop essentially predictive analytics. Some of the things that they're doing that's only one of the uses, and one of the things they're doing in this set is they take, for example, 10,000 patient files and are better able to predict the future causes of cancer and other predictive predict diseases. Yeah. We're also able to better predict the customer change based on customer history using big data and machine learning.
Thanks for that. What are some of the insights that you've gained about the appetite for automation and the use of technology in South Africa compared to the rest of the world?
Well, essentially, we definitely do still lag behind that, in so much so that other countries like Asia have gone from AI research into AI investments. And we still have a large portion to do with regards to education and investment into the technology. One thing that's very important in the South African context is that AI has the ability to widen an income inequality gap from the way that it can replace certain jobs on lower levels. And we have to start talking about this from an institutional and legislation
point of view
to better safeguard jobs in the near future.
Okay, well, and how do we go about doing that? So are there any sort of ideas that are thrown at the moment in terms of how do we go about protecting those particular jobs or upskilling people who might potentially lose jobs with further automation?
Well, one thing we can do is what we're doing right now, discussing it. First of all, better understanding what artificial intelligence is, and we can also look to better understand where artificial intelligence is taking us. In a world that's becoming predominantly more machines being involved in work context, we are striving to be more human and we're looking to other fields. One of the fields where this is very prevalent is neuroscience. And neuroscience is really giving us a new understanding of what it means to be human and a new understanding of how to be more effective and things that machines will never be able to do.
Yeah, in terms of that neuroscience, that jargon, just break it down for us for our listeners who might not be in the know.
Perfect. Well, neuroscience, is in its very basic form, talks to the connection between the body and the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's essentially the blend between psychology, in a way, and almost biochemistry and physiology. It's essentially how your body reacts to your thinking. And what's really been so powerful in the last few decades, we've had breakthroughs in neuroscience that are helping us challenge conventional wisdom, that are helping us have a better understanding of the human nature. So in the same way that technology is advancing artificial intelligence, technology in the use of brain imaging machines, MRIs, is helping us better understand human behavior.
Awesome. And overall, what have you noted from your line of work to be the overall benefits of artificial intelligence?
The overall benefits is that it will save us time. All the menial tasks that can be automated will be automated, and this will give us more free time to think more strategically about the future and give us more spare time to and resources to advocate to research, for example.
You know, there's an example that comes to the top of my mind at the moment, specifically within the mining industry. I know when you look at, like, global best practice, for example, like Australia, the mining industry there is highly automated and they're doing very well. But then if you take that and you can't really sort of automatically plug it in South Africa, where there's, like, high unemployment issues and there's a lot of, you know, sensitivity around that, how do we go about sort of overcoming those challenges here in South Africa, in the South African context?
So you bring up a very valid point. And this is something, just my personal opinion, is that we need to get legislation involved and institutions involved to sort of safeguard this. In the same way that we have legislation and parameters and quotas that sort of advocate having certain demographics of people and genders of people and having certain tax breaks, needs to do the same with regards to replacing labor.
Yeah.
If we are going to replace replace menial labor with machines, we need to have a law or a tax that says if so much X is spent on people losing their jobs, they should be taxed, okay, because they will be saving money by doing that, and they should use that tax to repurpose people in training and development programs to repurpose and reskill.
Okay. Modiwa has a question for you. Modiwa is my co-host here in studio.
Hi, Rob. I actually had a question around what industries actually stand to benefit from AI the most in the South African context. I think earlier on in the show, we're talking about how McDonald's has actually started implementing these self-service terminals in some of its outlets here in Johannesburg. And there's the mining example that Klingiwe has just alluded to. But apart from that, what are some of the more everyday scenarios or situations in business that people should be expecting to see some type of automation in the coming 5 years at least?
So when you think about artificial intelligence, you have to think about what are tasks and also not necessarily just jobs, but what are parts of jobs that can be replicated. For example, article filing, for example, checking books, that sort of thing. So parts of jobs will be able to be replicated, normally menial and mundane tasks, such as tasks normally incorporated with personal assistants. You'll actually find a very interesting company called Clever, based in Cape Town, with a virtual assistant or chatbot sort of platform that they use. So everyone can have a virtual assistant, okay? Another thing that they use is chatbots with the customer service. When you log on to certain websites and you have a query, you can chat to a chatbot to get that done. I know some of the major banking institutions that the Neuro Leadership Institute works with, they've told us that they use chatbots in call centers, but they use it to enable the call center operator that actually talks to the people. Because what you have to remember is artificial intelligence being applied in different countries is different to South Africa. For example, we are multilingual, and people can jump between Zulu, Venda, Afrikaans, and English in one conversation. Mm-hmm. Now, a chatbot with Google Analytics doesn't have the sophistication to pick up the nuances, but what it can do is someone who can do that can have a chatbot that will easily give them the right resources, papers, and forms to help someone when they're on the phone.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for all that insight. So that was Robert Jardine from Neuro Leadership Institute of South Africa. He's head of research and solutions there. And he was just giving us insight on artificial intelligence and the benefits of AI, as well as, you know, the things that we can look forward to in the near future. Exciting times ahead.
The filing.
Nobody wants to do filing. People do. There are some jobs that people really do because they just want to be able to look after their families. And
yeah.
Truth be told, some jobs like the filing, etc., like nobody says, I wake up to go and do filing, and it literally makes me come alive. So, you know, maybe they'll be, if we're able to upskill people, have them have jobs that are like a bit more like intellectually challenging for them.
One of the things I liked about what Rob was saying, the examples he gave, he kept talking about call centers and the like, and personal assistants and virtual assistants and all that. And it really reminds me of what happened at Google I.O. earlier this year. And at Google I.O. this year, Google I.O. is Google's developers conference. It happens once a year, usually in May, June-ish. And this year they debuted a prototype of something they call Google Duo. Right, because if you've ever called the call centers of certain companies around South Africa, it has this machine voice which lets you know you are the third caller in the line. Expect to wait 1 minute. You know, it sounds like a machine, but Google debuted this voice assistant which made hair appointments and ordered pizza and the like, and it sounded like a human. And it had ums and ahs and everything like that. And I said to myself, like, it's gonna be tough out there.
It is, especially when you think of, like, you know, the fact that there'll be an introduction of not necessarily like robots that look human-like, where it'll be almost in the future, I see it being difficult to decipher whether someone is really a human or a robot.
Yeah. So on the other side of this, we're going to continue our conversation. We're going to be talking to Johan Reneker, who is from Automation Works, and they're going to be telling us how they are helping businesses to automate some of their processes. Keep it locked. This is 88.1.
Mob Justice on the Business Buzz.
We are talking automation today on the Business Buzz. We just came from talking to Rob Jardine, who is who leads the research and solution function of the Neuro Leadership Institute. But right now, we want to delve more into business operations. And on the line, we are joined by Johan Reneker, who is from Automation Works. They are a company that essentially helps different businesses to either streamline and automate some of their business operations. How are you, Johan?
I'm fine, Mudiwe. Thank you so much for being on the program. And we will also strive to educate young people in the community about automation, the new trend of our time.
So just from that point of view, what type of work are you guys doing at Automation Work? We notice that a lot of the solutions, you say that you're specializing in the food and beverages industry. What type That's of great. Things are we talking about? Because earlier on, we're talking about virtual assistants and chatbots. We're talking about self-service things at McDonald's. But what type of solutions are you creating for your clients?
Yeah, to give our radio audience an idea as well, Mudiwa, thank you for that question, is we typically look at the bread we eat every day, and then in the food industry, the cheese and yogurts, that type of products we use on a daily basis, that's the type of products we help our clients with. The technology tool that we use is what we call a PLC technology, Programmable Logic Controllers. It's a very useful tool in the process automation with mechatronics and electronics, and we work mainly then in the field of food and beverages factory industry. Our automation solutions offers an off-the-shelf solution on the one hand to new factories. That's the exciting part of it. A client can come in here with an idea, and we can help them to create an off-the-shelf solution for the new factory. Or on the other hand, we can assist customers with a current hands-to-hand system with a customized solution meeting specific client needs in that industry field. And then also the way we package our automation solution for a client will normally consist of, at first, the design via SolidWorks, AutoCAD drawings. And our audience must bear in mind, when I mentioned all these different type of topics, all of them can be a career path for young people, and that's making us very excited. The SolidWorks, AutoCAD drawings, the SCADA system, all very well planned.
So one of the things that I think our listeners are probably very interested to know is you guys are going and designing all these solutions for different businesses, but what type of reception do you get from the people in the businesses themselves? Do people feel like you guys are contributing to jobs being taken away, for example, or do they see it as an aid to make their businesses more efficient?
Yeah, thank you for that question, Mudiwa. We are very excited. You know, there's a constant knock on the door. We are very privileged to be part of this exciting times. We are in the buzz of automation. Companies want it to be done. And the good thing about this is if you look at Automation Works, we are in business almost 18 years now. And this underlines the fact that we definitely meet the demand of our customers. Clients of Automation Works become lifelong friends. The amazement comes once an automated system has been commissioned, and to see the joy and the excitement of the plant team the moment the on button is pressed and the newly automated system takes control of that plant. That's the type of things that drives our technicians as well and drives our team as well for what we are doing.
So have you faced any opposition from people who, because one of the things that we keep hearing from people when it comes to automation is this issue of jobs. Is automation here to take away jobs, or is it here to help people with their jobs?
Yeah, you know, the great thing that we experience regarding jobs is on the one hand, you have the misconceptions. You have a misconception that people will say automation will steal my job. It's one of the most general and obvious threats by employees. The truth is automation will boost productivity. That's what we experience.
Yeah.
Reduce and avoid redundancies. and will definitely improve the overall service and product quality within that company. So I think it's a matter of we have to train our people, we have to uplift our people, and try to change that old school blocks, if I may call it that, that people are still living with.
Okay, cool. Now, one of the things that in just researching about automation works that you guys do is, and you mentioned this at the beginning of the conversation, is the issue of education. I understand that you guys have an a winter school where you try to educate young people about possible careers in automation. What is that about?
Yes, we're quite excited about it. It all started about 4 years ago on a very small scale. Normally good things start move that way. It was myself and Wijnand Kotze, the owner of Automation Works. We were both facing the challenge with our own daughters, writing matric and needed career guidance of what about the future. A very difficult task, as many young people, perhaps the audience listening now, will also know and confirm. It's not that easy. So we invited the grade 11 and 12 learners of the two high schools in Swellendam and Railton, and we were overwhelmed by the group of learners pitch up for the event. We held a whole week event from the Monday to the Thursday. We start inviting other higher education schools, University of Stellenbosch, University of Cape Town, Northlink College, New Cloud Academy, and then Festo Didactic, and Festo from the Western Cape. They're one of our main partners for 4 years now. Siemens get involved, Vega, if I may mention a few of the companies, Cape Africa. And what happened is we try to create workstations, not an expo where the kids come to a show and they say, all right, we've seen this now, what else do we have to offer us? We get their hands dirty. We get them into workstations, and we keep them busy for the whole week. And the great thing about this is they get exposed to the new technology, to the robotics and mechatronics out there, the electronics, the Siemens logos. They work with the Festo pneumatic systems. And suddenly these kids comes to us and say, you know what, sir, why can't school be like this? This also let us realize then we have to go to the education department. We knock on the door of the NEC, Minister Debbie Shafier, the previous year. She attended one of our winter schools and were amazed with what we have learned the kids. And then it resulted in another technology winter school we have held the previous July school holidays at North Pine Technical High School for 15 different schools, technical schools, learners. And it was amazing to see what these learners have learned. Just to mention, we almost finished with the video and the interviews with these learners. It will be available on Automation Works website where people can see the interviews of these learners. If I may mention one young lady, that's the other interesting part. It's not only for the young guys, but the young ladies, they knocking on the door, and I can tell you they do their best out there. This one lady, she said to us, she will definitely change her attitude towards life and her studies, and she has decided to go and study civil engineering at UCT next year. And she said, even if she don't get a bursary, she will find a way of doing it because her attitude has changed. And that's amazing to see the light in these kids' eyes. And suddenly they realize there's a job opportunity for me. There's a career for me out there. I can go back to the school and I can do my best with maths, with science, all that ugly subjects that I have to eat every day.
I think you've actually just brought in a very interesting subject, because in terms of career guidance, perhaps someone is in the middle of the third year of their degree and then they realize that, no, oh my gosh, I actually wish that I had known this before going to university.
Yes.
In terms of that, what type of subjects or knowledge areas should young people who want to actually get into this field be looking into? What type of degree programs do you suggest?
We try to package a holistic framework for them. On the one hand, there's opportunity for the students that wants to go to university. They can be involved. We invite them all. We set out an open invitation on that. So So firstly, students that wants to be engineers in the different fields of engineering, there's an opportunity. What we also do in the morning programs, we give the different higher education schools, like in the University of Stellenbosch, they will do the Monday morning program. And then they do the marketing on the different career paths available at the engineering school, so the learners can make a choice on that. The next day, University of Cape Town do their thing. The next day, New Cloud Academy do their thing. The next day, Northlink College, with all the government bursaries and opportunities, they do their thing with their seven colleges. So, and then in the afternoons, we have this wide span from drawings, AutoCAD, SolidWorks drawings, programming, apps, and the writing of apps, and then the Siemens logos, the Festo pneumatics, hydraulics, the STEM education program. Festo Didactic runs a whole workshop on the STEM education in line with the education curriculum. So we really try to package the whole system. Then even we have another workstation with plain wiring, cabling and wiring, cutting of wires. And I can tell you the students enjoy it, to cut the wires, to put the stuff together. This year we had a very exciting display from University of Cape Town with a water display where the kids were supposed to have the different reservoirs. They have to bolt it themselves, the flow of water, to address the whole crisis of water in our country. So there's a really hands-on solution and different parts for where the learners can fit in. And see, it's not only for the top class groups. It's great if they are there and they can go to university and do their thing. We also have, at our Automation Works, we have our own training facility. We've started with it 3 years ago. Students that can't go to university, that there's no other path for them, but they still want to do this, they have their matric, they come to us, we say, with the right attitude, we are more too glad to pull them in. And then we train them in a skills training program for 12 months, from welding, from wiring, from cabling, from PLC building, from whatever. They go with the technicians out to the sites. They do site visiting. They do job visiting at different companies. And we give them the opportunity of getting a job placement at the end of that year with one of these companies. So we really try to fit in a wide range of career opportunities for these learners.
That was us. We were on the line with Johan Reneker, who is head of HR with Automation Works, just giving us a roundup of what's going on their business. As you heard, there's a lot going on with them because they are, not only are they helping businesses come up with automation solutions, but they're trying to empower young people to actually find out what type of careers can you actually have. And they've actually started a winter school where if you're a young person, you actually go and see if this is something that you can do. And they're not only focusing on engineering, they've got a lot of different knowledge areas that they are focusing on. So that's how our show comes to an end. On the other side of this, we just give you our final thoughts and then we, you know, wrap it up because, you know, it's that time. Keep it locked. This is The Business Buzz.
The Business Buzz.
We've come to the end of tonight's Business Buzz show. We were talking about automation, artificial intelligence, and streamlining business processes. Thank you so much to everyone who was part of our show. Thank you to Rob Jardine for being part of our show. He was just giving us some of the research around automation in South Africa and how it is going to make our lives better going forward. And then thank you so much to Johan Reneker from Automation Works for just giving us an actual operational viewpoint of what's going on in automation and how they are trying to help young people to actually get into the automation industry. So, Klingiwe, anyway, as a science student,
yes,
how did you find everything?
Representing all the STEMs out there. Yeah.
How did you find everything today?
Absolutely insightful and interesting. I think for me, the highlight was that technological advancements are not the enemy.
Yeah.
And that really we need to upskill our people to a place where we don't have to see such advancements as a threat, but more as an opportunity.
Yeah.
And just find our place under the sun and see how we can be able to leverage off the technological advancements that are available.
Yeah.
And more than that, just be leaders and pioneers in the space as Africa, and not always follow.
And for me, I think one of the biggest takeaways was in talking to someone like Johan, because one of the things that we keep saying is that we need to reskill and retool the workforce to be doing higher value jobs, etc., etc. But if you look at what Automation Works is doing, they're actually doing it. It's no longer a conversation of, no, guys, I think we need to be giving people more skills, etc. They're actually going, you know, to the ground level and actually saying, okay, how do you contribute to the actual discussion around this? So the fact that they've moved away from just talking about we need to upskill people
to actually doing it. Yeah, and I think the economic benefits are the national economic benefits that we, you know, the potential benefits are just immense. And once we tap into those, we just need to find a way to just include, you know, the social element to it and just make sure that that's up to par.
So yes, that's our show. Let us know what you think on social media. How do you feel about the issue of automation? Are you afraid that that the machines are here to take over? Let us know what you think on social media.
Yes, please get a hold of us. So you can find and follow us on Voice of Wits FM 88.1, and you can also just find us on the following social media platforms: Facebook Vow FM Voice of Wits, and Wits Radio Academy on Twitter. It's at Vow FM. Our hashtag is Business Buzz. WhatsApp line 084-078-4912. You can also stream the station live on www.vowfm.co.za, and you can also find our podcasts of the Business Buzz Show on www.vits.journalism.co.za/business.
So with that, we've reached the end of tonight's show. Thank you so much to our amazing team, our executive producer, that's Elna Schutz, together with our producer, Welcome Lishiva, and then our technical producer, welcome back to Kutlwano.
Quench, quench.
You know, shout out to him. And then don't miss the Business Buzz. We are back same time, same place next week for more insight into the world of business. Make sure you don't turn that dial. We are a 24-hour radio station. On the other side of this, there is a Life Beat, so definitely make sure you keep it locked. For myself, Mudia Mob, Justice Gavaza, Leng Wezondo, and the rest of the team, it's good evening and take care.
Mob Justice on the Business Buzz. Listen to the Business Buzz every Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. only on Vow FM. The Business Buzz Podcast.